Welcome to day 278 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm glad you're with me again today as we continue through the New Testament. Today we will be reading Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapters 4 and 5. And we are just getting into the very beginning days of the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth. And today we will hear how he was led out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days after being filled with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. So we're opening in Matthew chapter 4, starting at the first verse. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness desert to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread." But he replied, "It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on a turret, pinnacle, gable of the temple sanctuary. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and they will bear you up on their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written also, you shall not test thoroughly or try exceedingly the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, magnificence, preeminence, and excellence of them. And he said to him, "These things, all taken together, I will give you, if you will prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil departed from him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested and put in prison, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the country of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be brought to pass. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, in the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, of the peoples who are not of Israel, the people who sat, dwelt enveloped in darkness, have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the land in shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach, crying out, "Repent, change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, throwing a dragnet into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and became his disciples, sided with his party and followed him. And going on further from there, he noticed two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets and putting them right. And he called them. At once they left the boat and their father and joined Jesus as disciples, sided with his party and followed him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news, gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. So the report of him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and torments, those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people, and he healed them. And great crowds joined and accompanied him about, coming from Galilee and Decapolis, the district of the 10 cities east of the Sea of Galilee, and Jerusalem and Judea, and from the other east side of the Jordan. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit for during 40 days in the wilderness desert, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, order this stone to turn into a loaf of bread." And Jesus replied to him, "It is written, man shall not live and be sustained by on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God." Then the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace, for it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Therefore, if you will do homage to and worship me just once, it shall all be yours." And Jesus replied to him, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a gable of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to guard and watch over you closely and carefully, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus replied to him, "The scripture says, you shall not tempt, try, test exceedingly the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him, until another more opportune and favorable time. Then Jesus went back, full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit, into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, that Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." Then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. And he began to speak to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the words of grace that came forth from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So he said to them, "You will doubtless quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard by hearsay that you did in Capernaum, do here also in your own town." Then he said, "Solemnly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable and welcome in his own town, country. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were closed up for 3 years and 6 months, so there came a great famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but only to Zarephath in the country of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed by being healed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage, and rising up, they pushed and drove him out of the town, and laying hold of him, they led him to the projecting upper part of the hill on which their town was built, that they might hurl him headlong down over the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went on his way. And he descended to Capernaum, a town of Galilee, and there he continued to teach the people on the Sabbath days. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his word was with authority and ability and weight and power. Now in the synagogue there was a man who was possessed by a foul spirit of a demon, and he cried out with a loud, deep, terrible cry, "Ah, let us alone! What have you to do with us? What have we in common, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, muzzled, gagged, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown the man down in their midst, he came out of him without injuring him in any possible way. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What kind of talk is this? For with authority and power he commands the foul spirits, and they come out." And a rumor about him spread into every place in the surrounding country. Then he arose and left the synagogue and went into Simon Peter's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering in the grip of a burning fever, and they pleaded with him for her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she got up and began waiting on them. Now at the setting of the sun, indicating the end of the Sabbath, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands upon every one of them and cured them. And demons even came out of many people, screaming and crying out, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not permit them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And when daybreak came, he left Peter's house and went into an isolated, desert place. And the people looked for him until they came up to him and tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to the other cities and towns also, for I was sent for this purpose." And he continued to preach in the synagogues of Galilee. Chapter 5. Now it occurred that while the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the message of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul." And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and as their nets were at the point of breaking, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and take hold with them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was gripped with bewildering amazement, allied to terror, and all who were with him at the haul of fish which they had made. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And after they had run their boats on shore, they left everything and joined him as his disciples and sided with his party and accompanied him. While he was in one of the towns, there came a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cure me and make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one that he might chance to meet until he said, "You go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your purification, as Moses commanded, for a testimony and proof to the people, that they may have evidence of your healing." But so much the more the news spread abroad concerning him, and great crowds kept coming together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. But he withdrew himself in retirement to the wilderness desert and prayed. One of those days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. And behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the midst in front of Jesus. And when he saw their confidence in him springing from their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason and question and argue, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, knowing their thoughts and questionings, answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, 'Arise and walk about'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power of authority and right on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, arise, pick up your litter, stretcher, and go to your own house." And instantly the man stood up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went away to his house, recognizing and praising and thanking God. An overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all, and they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear and kept saying, "We have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today." And after this, Jesus went out and looked attentively at a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Join me as a disciple and side with my party and accompany me." And he forsook everything and got up and followed him, becoming his disciple and siding with his party. And Levi, Matthew, made a great banquet for him in his own house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others who were reclining at the table with them. Now the Pharisees and their scribes were grumbling against Jesus' disciples, saying, "Why are you eating and drinking with tax collectors and preeminently sinful people?" And Jesus replied to them, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to arouse and invite and call the righteous, but the erring ones, those not free from sin, to repentance, to change their minds for the better, and heartily to amend their ways with abhorrence of their past sins. Then they said to him, "The disciples of John practice fasting often and offer up prayers of special petition, and so did the disciples of the Pharisees also, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast in those days." He told them a proverb also, "No one puts a patch from a new garment on an old garment. If he does, he will both tear the new one, and the patch from the new one will not match the old garment. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined, destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, immediately desires new wine, for he says, 'The old is good or better.'" This is the end of today's scripture reading. One of the powerful lessons that we can learn from the text that we read today has to do with the power of the Word of God in our lives. Jesus demonstrated the importance of the Word of God as he was wandering in the wilderness being tempted by the devil himself. Every single person on the earth faces temptation. Whether you are a believer in Jesus Christ or you are not, you face temptation to do what is wrong in the sight of God and man every single day. Here we find this amazing story of Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 days fasting, eating no food whatsoever. And during that time, the devil came and tried to tempt him with three different temptations. You may wonder, how could Jesus, who's the Son of God, even be tempted? How could it be even a temptation for him for the devil to suggest anything? But you have to understand that when Jesus came to the earth, the Bible tells us that he set aside his deity as God and allowed himself to be born as a man and face the same temptations that we face every single day, so that he had familiarity with what human beings deal with and endure every day of their lives. And yet, though he was fully human, he was also fully God at the same time. And we don't have time to get into that particular doctrine, but that's the reality. The Lord allowed himself to experience what man experiences, so he could speak with authority to those things, and we could be confident that Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. And this amazing story where Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and the devil comes and tries to tempt him with these various issues, the very first one having to do with the flesh, having to do with the lusts of the flesh. He's hungry. He wants to eat food like any person who would be hungry. And yet he had consecrated himself to his heavenly Father, saying he's going to spend this time fasting and praying. And the devil comes to try to tempt him to give in to the desire of the flesh to eat. That was temptation number one. We all face temptations in our flesh to do things fleshly, to give in to what the flesh desires, whether it's to overeat or to drink or to take drugs or alcohol or any type of thing that the flesh is responding to. That's temptation. And how did Jesus deal with the temptations that he was faced with? This narrative gives us a clear picture and also shows us the power of the Word of God to deal with temptation that we face in life. Jesus responded to each of these three temptations that the devil presented to him with the Word of God. The power of the Word of God for your life cannot be overstated. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, order this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. He was trying to tempt him to give in to the feelings of the flesh, which undoubtedly were very strong. He had to be very hungry, having gone without food for this extended period of time. And yet Jesus dealt with that temptation. He didn't give in to it. He resisted it with one powerful weapon. And that weapon is available to you as well as it was to Jesus at the time he walked in that desert wilderness. He responded with God's word. It says in verse 4 of Luke 4, Jesus replied to him, talking about replying to the devil. Can you talk to the devil? Certainly, you can reply to him with the word of God. He replied to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So that was a quotation from the Old Testament. That's what Jesus did. He took the written word of God. And when the devil pressed him, tried to tempt him to give into his flesh, he took out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, according to Ephesians. He took out that weapon, that sword, the word of God. And he responded to the devil's temptation by saying, it is written. And then he quotes, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So he responds with a word from God, the Bible. He responds with a Bible verse to push away, to resist the temptation that the enemy had brought to him. So each of these three temptations, which essentially addressed the three main areas of sin that man faces, the lust of the flesh, which has to do with the first one, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All sin can be grouped into one of those three categories, and the devil touched each one of them in these three temptations in the wilderness. And to each and every single one, Jesus responded, it is written, and then quoted a scripture to the devil, and then it says he went away. You know, the Bible instructs us in the New Testament, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We see this example in Jesus's life. He resisted the devil with the word of God and the devil fled from him. And this is the same pattern we need to use in our lives, because the reality is every person on the earth faces temptation every single day. And how will you deal with it? You can't just cower from it and try not to give into it with your own free will, strength of will. It will not work. You need power, and there is power in the Word of God. It's a weapon that's been given to you to utilize in times of temptation. But I want to point out that the Word of God has more power in our lives, not only to resist temptation. That is one aspect that God has allowed us to utilize about the Word of God, the power to resist sin. This is powerful. We need it. But that's not the only thing the Word of God can be used for in your life. And God gave it to us as a resource and as a weapon. Let me give you the second example that we see here in the Word of God that we read today. And I love this example. This one comes from Luke chapter 5, and it's the story where Jesus had gone to the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. He saw two boats by the lake, and he got into one of the boats. It would happen to belong to Simon Peter, and he asked Peter, can I use your boat for a preaching platform? And he pulled a little away from the shore, sat down in the boat, and began to teach the crowd of people that had followed him, who were waiting to hear his words. So he sat in that boat for a season. He preached to the people on the shore. And when he was finished, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets, or as the Amplified Translation says, lower your nets for a haul, or let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He had been a fisherman all his life. He was a son of a fisherman. He knew fishing. And he also knew you don't fish in the daytime when the sun is out because the fish are not, they hide in the darker, deeper parts of the water. He had fished all night, he told Jesus, and they had caught nothing. So the idea of fishing in broad daylight with their nets after an exhausting night that yielded absolutely no fish for their business, and they were in the business of selling fish, was just a crazy idea, no doubt, to his natural mind. He knew that that was ridiculous to the natural man. But the most amazing thing to me is the response of Simon Peter. He says these amazing words, "And Simon Peter answered, 'Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again.'" That's the Amplified translation of Luke 5:5. "On the ground of your word." I love that because it speaks to the point that I want to make to you today. On the ground of the word of God, you will see miracles. On the ground of God's word, you can have confidence. On the ground of God's word, you can have a confident faith that God will do as he says. And here, Peter had seen enough about Jesus' ministry to know if he said something, it always came to pass. Now, he hadn't walked long with Jesus. He was just getting to know him, but he knew enough to see that this man had something. And when he spoke, things happened. Jesus' words are powerful. They are the words of God. Everything you can find in the Bible is the word of God. The scripture tells us it's the inspired word of God, what is written in the Bible. So Simon Peter says, "What I know about fishing tells me it would be ridiculous to put my nets down in broad daylight and expect any fish. However, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again." So Simon Peter made a decision. His decision was to trust in the word of God, the words of Jesus, over his natural mind's logical assessment of the situation, which told him it was a waste of time and effort, and he was already tired and ready for bed because he had fished all night. So he allowed Jesus's words to overcome what his natural mind would have argued was ridiculous to do or pursue. God asks you the same thing. Will you allow his word to be preeminent in your life over what your natural mind would tell you is reality? Will you allow God's word to have preeminence? Will you allow it to have first place in your life? Will you believe Jesus' words over and above what natural circumstances say? You're in a hopeless situation, yet God's word says he's able to deliver you. But you say, it's impossible to be delivered from this situation. I got myself into it. It's really bad. There's no hope. That's natural mind or natural thinking speaking. But God's word says he is able to deliver to the uttermost. There's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible for him. These are the words of the Bible. And you have a choice. You can take the words of the Bible, which is the word of God, and decide to agree that God's word is more powerful, is preeminent, and is able to overcome any natural situation. That is what Peter did. He decided to allow the words of Jesus to overcome and to supersede what his natural mind knew was natural reality in the earth. Do you know the word of God can change the reality of the earth every single time? It did in this case. Simon Peter went out, let down his nets in the deep water as Jesus instructed him, lowered the nets for a catch, as if to expect a catch in the middle of broad daylight when fish are never caught in the Sea of Galilee. The results of trusting the Word of God and letting it supersede the natural situation was a supernatural, miraculous catch, so great that their nets were at the point of breaking and they had to signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them take in this catch that was so magnificent. And the word says they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. It was a supernatural result from trusting in God's word. Do you need supernatural results in your life? Trust in God's word. Are you struggling with temptation? Take hold of God's word. Do as Jesus did. Quote that scripture to the enemy when he comes to try to draw you into a tempting situation to sin. Use the word of God as your weapon of warfare against temptation and in order to see supernatural results in your life. The word of God is powerful. God gave it to us as a weapon. We have only to trust in it, to believe in it, and to allow it to be preeminent in our lives, allow it to take first place, allow it to be the thing we yield to instead of our natural mind in every circumstance of life. And the power of the Word of God will deliver you and will supernaturally provide for you. Take hold of it today. May God bless you and give you a victorious week. Don't forget to visit our Facebook page, myeverydaybible.com, and send us an email and tell us how My Everyday Bible has been used in your life. You can email me at Rita, R-I-T-A, at myeverydaybible.com.